Hey everybody, it's Sam Bennett. Thank you so much for joining me for the True Freedom Symposium, the when, what, why, and how to quit your day job, and what's really on the other side. Today's interview is with Dawn Sarah. Dawn is one of my new favorite people in the world. She's an internationally known podcaster, relationship expert, and online event producer. In fact, she produced this series for us. Dawn specializes in coaching individuals and business owners alike on how to get unstuck and step into their pleasure, power, and purpose. Whether it's coaching couples around how they communicate or producing an online event like this one that changes thousands of lives, Dawn is all about rewriting stories and challenging each of us to step forward towards the things that we most desire. Check it out. Hi, everybody. I'm Bennett from the OrganizedArtistCompany.com, and this is my friend Dawn Sarah. Hi, Dawn.
Hi, everyone.
So we're here talking about true freedom and how to know when, how, if, should, why a person might want to quit their day gig, whether that's just a gig that's been a sort of a holding position till they were ready to move on to something bigger, or it's been like a real for real deal career. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're thinking, might need to make a shift. So I have a lot of questions for you, Dawn, but go ahead and tell the nice people like how you got from where you were to where you are.
Yeah. I spent 17 years in corporate at a Fortune 150. And for many of those years, I was a manager in IT. So I am well-versed in cubicle land. And in the early 2000s, I was looking for something that would just feed me a little more personally. Like I had always known I wanted to do something special and that what I was doing was interesting and challenging, but not it. And in the early 2000s, I went to a sex toy party with a whole bunch of friends. And afterwards, the woman approached me and she was like, I think you would be really good at this. Like there's something about you. And I was like, well, okay. And I thought about it and I thought, why not? You know, I'll just do like these parties on the side for a little while. And it really took off. I ended up meeting with thousands of women over the course of a couple of years. And what it really taught me was less about like the sales of the products and more about the experiences and the shame and the feelings that people were having about their bodies and the ways they were connecting with partners. And that really planted a seed. And at the time, the business got big enough that I had to choose. Was I going to go into business for myself and quit my day job or stay with my company? And I wasn't quite ready. It wasn't quite the right thing. And so I shut that business down and kind of threw myself back into my career and all kinds of certifications, as you do in corporate land. Sure. And then I started feeling like deep dissatisfaction with my job. And loving my team and loving the relationships, but all the rest of the stuff around it was starting to feel deeply suffocating. And that's when I started kind of like, okay, I'll start trying to build up a coaching business on the side. I launched a podcast. And the side gig wasn't really working for me because I just was constantly feeling called. And so I just decided one day, like, I have to just try it. I don't want to wait until like my retirement's on the line, like do it now. And if I fail epically, I still have plenty of years to figure something out or move back in with mom in my 40s. Who knows, you know, like two options. And so I took the leap and that was about 4 years ago. And it's been challenging and beautiful and surprising. And now, in addition to working around intimacy, I'm also helping companies with events and doing consulting. I help therapists learn how to have better online businesses. So taking all the corporate knowledge to do behind the scenes stuff while also having my business that's like the stuff that makes my heart super happy.
Oh, there's so much to love about this story. Okay. So part of what I want to get into is, I remember when we were talking about this before, you said that one of the things that hung you up was just the really practical stuff, like the health insurance issue.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that, like, you even stayed maybe a couple of years past when you might have otherwise left.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because of the health insurance thing. So tell me a little bit about that thinking, just so people can recognize, like, oh, I have been doing that to myself.
Yeah.
And what the solution was.
Well, you know, I started in corporate at 19 years old. And so I had only ever been in a situation where healthcare was a given because I showed up for work, and where retirement accounts were a given because they automatically were putting into my Vanguard, right? And so the only things I had to think about were how to get dressed for work that day and then to do a great job when I showed up. And all of those moving pieces were handled by other people. And it was really terrifying to me because I had heard so many stories from friends who had branched out on their own of just like paying $800, $1,000 a month for really terrible coverage and having nothing in a retirement account. And meanwhile, my retirement account was looking very healthy and I had fantastic coverage. And I was just really scared about the realities of like, I can probably make a business work, but what about all those things that have been invisible to me my entire life?
Yeah.
And I found that every time I kind of took like a webinar or a workshop with someone who was kind of like how to become an entrepreneur, there was a couple of places where they always just kind of were like, and you can figure out the LLC stuff later. Don't worry about taxes, just get an accountant, and like healthcare, you'll figure it out. But let's talk about your business. And I just kept feeling like, but I don't have the certainty and I don't have the answers that give me the courage to believe I can make this work.
Mm-hmm.
And there did come a point where I was like, well, one, Obamacare happened. And so that was just good timing for me personally. Like I was like, okay, this is something I can figure out. There's a website where I put in information and they give me a quote. And now I know the numbers before I leave. And then as far as like taxes and LLC stuff, I figured there's lots of resources out there and I'll figure it out kind of by going into the fire. But I need to change the thing that's making me miserable.
Totally. Okay. So what I'm hearing here is that it is really hard to get, honestly, to get good, straightforward information about a lot of this legal and tax stuff. And certainly it's hard enough in the US. Other countries, I couldn't even begin to speculate. But I know in a lot of countries, banking is hard, getting payments from clients is hard, people don't use credit cards on the internet as much. Like there's a lot of things that, that need solving, that are just they're not impossible, they just need solving. I will also add that part of the reason it's hard to get good straight information about health insurance and the tax LLCs, S-Corp, C-Corp thing is because there isn't an answer.
Right.
No one knows. It's this incredibly complicated, my girlfriend actually works for the government, coined the phrase, fuck shop.
Yes.
Anything that's just like irredeemably confusing and an awful. Trader Joe's parking lots are a fuck shop.
Yep.
Inevitably.
like that.
Yeah. So to just understand like, you're not missing anything. It's really, nobody really understands it. And all you can do is get the best information you can, talk to as many smart people as you can, and then make the best decision you have at the time.
Yeah.
And I always figure, you know, I do the best I can with my taxes. If the IRS wants to come after me, well, then we'll figure it out from there, won't we?
Exactly. Yeah. And like, that's kind of the mindset for a lot of business I've found. It's like, we'll do the best we can. And then when we make the mistake, we go, oh, whoops. Okay. Let's try something different. And most of the time it's not mission critical.
Exactly. Exactly. Great. Good. Okay. So I feel there was a sigh of relief that just happened. I feel a lot of people just going like, oh, that's right. I'm a smart person. I bet I could figure it out. Like,
yeah. Okay. And lots of other people have done it. And I think the thing that was getting me hung up was I was like, I have to figure all the things out by myself and get it right out of the gate. And that was just another way for me to not really kind of confront the bigger stuff of like, this is scary and it's going to be uncomfortable and I'm not going to know what I'm doing for really a long time because I spent 17 years having people tell me how to do stuff. And knowing like other people are struggling, other people are figuring this out, other people are further along and you're allowed to talk to them helped build some of the, like relationships were a really big part of that for me.
100%. And let me just say to everyone listening, honestly, if you don't have a coach, whatever you're up to, I mean, if you're watching this podcast, you or this, what are we calling this summit symposium thing? The series of interviews, you have enough dissatisfaction in your life to know that there's some edge at which you need to grow and you're not never, it's very challenging to see that kind of thing for yourself. Mm-hmm. You don't know what you don't know. You're not recognizing the patterns you're not recognizing. You're not identifying, you know, you're letting your fears have a very practical name. Like, well, I'm concerned about health insurance. Everybody goes, oh yes, that's a very valid concern. Instead of saying, my britches are scared off because I'm not going to know what I'm doing. So yeah, get a coach, get a community, be in relationship with other people who are up to the same thing you want to be doing, and who are better at it than you are. And don't look to the people who are still inside the gulag to be able to answer this question. Because this is something I've been wanting to ask people. Did you get a lot of pushback when you left? Did you get a lot of...
You know, it was really interesting because the people who were above me tried really hard to scare me out of leaving, right? Like, what can we do to keep you? Oh, that's really hard. Entrepreneurship. Oh, lots of people come back after that. So just lots of like, we don't think you know what you're going to be leaving behind. And we don't want to lose you, obviously. So we'll say whatever we can. But what I found was like my team and the people I had been working with for many years, the number one thing they said to me was, oh my God, I would never have the courage to do that.
Oh, interesting.
Over and over and over and over again. And like this terror and excitement for me because they couldn't imagine, it was kind of like, oh my God, I can't imagine having the balls to do that. Like, if there's anyone who can do it, it's you, but I could never, right? So it was kind of like all these other people's fears and secret hopes were kind of getting put onto me because they had never had the courage and they felt like it was too late for them or whatever their story was.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. And those offers from your bosses and that, all that, I often have noticed that when you're about to make a big change in your life or you've made a decision and you're like, nope, this is what I'm doing. Like the universe has a yard sale on all your old stuff.
Yep.
And that's when the boss is like, oh, come on back and, you know, we'll pay you a little bit more.
Right.
You know, this is when the ex-lover calls up and is like, what you doing?
Hey,
how you doing? Wanna hang out? And you're like, what? Right. And it's, I think it's partly a dragons at the gate thing. It's a little bit of a test. Like, oh, you know, but I think it's also just the universe has been saying, like, oh no, we had all this stuff saved up for you. Did you not want them? You
know? Right. Right. The promises of the better projects and the like, oh, well, we'll let you hire someone that would make your team better or whatever it is. Right. And just like, no, I need to do the scarier thing right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. So, and that discomfort, that getting comfortable with feeling uncomfortable is just so much the price of admission.
Yeah. Yep. That space is my jam, right? You know, I talk to people about intimacy and desire and love and dating. And I talk to people about launching events and creating change in their business. So there's a theme, at least in my spheres of like everything I do is about moving deeply into uncertainty and discomfort and finding ways to just be like, I got to be here for a while. Like, I'm not going to like it, but you know, what's on the other side is probably pretty awesome. So let's go into that and see what happens. And so like challenging people to go there and for me to go there too, even when I kick and scream sometimes.
Well, that is one of the other, you know, it comes up a lot. This, you know, entrepreneurship is spiritual development. Entrepreneurship is personal development. And particularly when you position yourself as someone, you know, I mean, I wrote a book called Get It Done. I can't exactly chicken out at the last minute on things as much as I may want to, you know, when you are helping people with, you know, intimacy and growing their business and their sort of cutting edge of, you know, their leading edge of growing edge, whatever you call that. Yeah. You know, yeah, you can't really hang back from your own
right
moments of test.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, like, honestly, the people that I look up to the most in these spaces who are growing businesses and doing interesting things, they want to be on the cutting edge. They want to be asking the really scary questions. They want to be moving into places where they're going to mess up and fail and learn from that. You know, it's like, I think there's some people who create something and it feels comfortable and they want to hang out there. But the people that I'm really interested in following and learning from are the people who are like, what's the next thing? What's the scary thing? What's everyone avoiding? Let me go there. Let me try it. Let me, you know, be in this space and see what happens. And there's kind of this like discoverer explorer mindset. And I find that really exciting because then it helps me to be willing to ask those questions and kind of challenge myself.
And you do get a whole different perspective on failure. I mean, in some ways, I don't even think of things as failures. There are things that like don't meet my expectations or that don't go the way I thought they were going to.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting. I'm like, that's so interesting that that did not go the way I thought it would go. I wonder what's happening there. And like, because I've learned so much more. I mean, success is good. And I was like, oh, I love my failures. No, it's not a love thing, but you do learn a ton and it does start to feel kind of normal to just go, oh, all right, well, next, what's next?
Right.
So what surprised you? What did you not anticipate here on the other side of the wall?
There's a lot. I had a lot wrong when I was thinking from my cubicle what it would be like. It's not at all like what I pictured. And that's a great thing in the long run. But you know, I had these visions of watching all of these other online entrepreneurs and the programs that I went through who were launching businesses. And I was just like, I could do that. Like, of course I could do that. And I just had this vision of, I'll take a couple of weeks off and just kind of like breathe out corporate. And it'll take me a couple of months just like kind of find my rhythm. And then I'll majestically be an entrepreneur who like has it figured out. And I'm still figuring it out, right? Like I am still trying to find the ways to do things that help me feel good and that help me stretch and find my productivity times. But I spent probably 6 to 8 months after I left just kind of spinning my wheels of like, well, I'll make some Facebook posts and I'll send out some newsletters and I feel like I'm doing things. My days are flying by, you know, like the sun goes down and I feel like I was busy, but realizing I wasn't actually creating. I wasn't actually digging in and asking tough stuff and then trying it out. I was just kind of safely like, oh, I shared some articles and did some Facebook posts.
And yeah, it's one of the things I notice a lot with, especially with sort of, you know, with people focusing on internet businesses that with, especially with the new people, but even people who've been at it a long time, I say sales, they say content. Yeah. I say sales, they say content. So I'm like, so what are you selling and to whom and how much are we charging for this and how's that going? And they're like, I wrote 6 articles. I've been posting on Facebook. I make a YouTube channel. I'm thinking about a podcast. It's like, that's content.
Yep.
Sales.
Right.
And while there is a relationship between those things, one is not the same as the other. I also want to say, because I'm so glad you said this about the 6 or 8 months on the couch, because this is also my experience and I don't want to freak anybody out, but it might as well be said. I have noticed that the transition for people out of, especially from full-time corporate, kind of intense, you know, from full-time corporate into entrepreneurship, it does take 6 months, a year, even 2 years just to kind of get reorganized. Also after retirement, I've also seen this after retirement. And I think this is the thing, you know, you've spent so long dreaming of like, the minute I have the time, the minute I get out of here, the minute I'll do it. And you have this idea that you're just going to launch. And I've seen that once or twice. I've seen that. It's not that it never happens. But it's just, it's a whole different mindset. It's a whole different way of going about your day. It's a lot of recalibration.
Yeah. And I mean, I even started a different business at first because there was a part of me that was like, to do what I really want is too scary. And I'm not sure I deserve that. Mm-hmm. And so I started a business in a space that was super safe. And I got maybe 3 or 4 months into that and realized like, I mean, yeah, I could totally make this work, but this is me just creating more resistance and barriers to get to where I really need to be. And I had to just like shut it down, go back to the thing that was scary and say, this is actually where I know I want to be and start from there.
Great. And how, How did your family and friends react to this?
My friends were super supportive. They were like, you know, just right down the line, all of them. If there's anyone that's going to rock this, if there's anyone that's going to end up on Oprah, it's you. You know, so it was, I have the best friends in the world. And so that felt really wonderful. And my family was also really supportive. You know, I think my parents, of course, were like, well, you know, it's risky. But they were also obviously, which I'm so, so grateful for, of the mindset of like, well, if you try this thing and you just actually fall on your face, you move back home for a little while and figure it out, you know, who cares if you're 40 or 50 or however old you are, and then you get back on your feet. And so, you know, I have the luxury of coming from a middle-class family who really wants me to be happy. And so that was also just a nice thing of like, I might lose all my money. I might exhaust all my resources. I might lose my house. I might do all these things, but I'm always going to have a place to land between my friends and my family. And so that was kind of just like underneath all of it, knowing if the worst happens, I end up living with people that I love for a while.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so that was.
And you do have one or two marketable skills. I mean, it's not like you couldn't get another job if you really. Right. If that really had to happen. So
exactly.
Yeah. So, and I think that's important too, to really acknowledge how resourced you are.
Yes.
You know, how, and not everybody has, you know, a ton of friends or a lot of great family, but you probably have one or two. Mm-hmm. There's probably someone in your family. There's probably some resources. There's probably somewhere you can go. I do. And I'm so glad that people were so nice about it. I know a lot of people, particularly people who've left teaching. There's something about leaving teaching that they get a lot of like resentment and like all of a sudden people that they'd been friends with forever, all of a sudden being very cool with them. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's a little bit like how people who live in New York are always talking about how great New York is. It's so great.
Yeah.
And I think it's because it's so hard to live there that if they weren't constantly affirming how great it was, they would have to deal with how hard it is to live there and they might leave. And so anybody who does leave, it's like, you have betrayed the pact. You have to go now. And sometimes I feel that there's a little of that kind of brainwashing happening inside corporate jobs and especially inside teaching.
I mean, I know that I certainly did that to others a few times in the corporate realm when I saw them leave to go do a startup or to do whatever the thing, like feeling pretty angry and bitter that they had the courage to do the thing. And it was mostly an internalized experience of just like, well, what makes them think they can do that? And realizing that's because I wish that I was the one doing that.
So that's an important, jealousy is such an important signal, you know, and it's such an important internal signal. It's not our favorite part of ourselves. It's not the thing we like to look at. Nobody likes to admit that they're jealous. But I find that when you're jealous, it's because A, you want it and you think you can do it. You think you can have it. Like, we're not jealous of the things we don't think we can have.
Right.
We might say, oh, that's amazing. Or, you know, I admire that, but you know, I just use the example of swimming the English Channel. I'm like, oh, good on you. I am not jealous of that experience at all. It's very cold and horrible.
Yeah.
Good for you. So to notice like, where are the things where you start to get really unpleasant inside of your mind about it because it might be a signal that it's something you really want.
Agreed.
So you mentioned that you took some online courses, you studied with some people. If you were like me, you listened to like every free thing there was, and then finally took the plunge and invested in somebody something. How was that for you in terms of, or what advice would you have for somebody else, I guess, around usefulness experience?
A couple of things. Niceness got me into some places that didn't really serve me.
Say more about that.
So there are some really incredible people doing some really incredible things that are in no way a good fit for me. Mm. And specifically, I'm thinking of one situation where I joined a mastermind with someone who had good experience and good reviews and who's a really lovely human being and who I like very much personally. But as I agreed to go into the mastermind, because I didn't want to say, I'm not sure this is a good fit for me. I was just kind of like trying to do the nice thing. I'll sign on. And I found 8 months later at the end of this that I had gotten, the value that I had gotten it out of it was, none of this is for me, and this is not how I want to do a mastermind. Like, that was ultimately the takeaway.
Which is a valuable learning.
It is. It's valuable learning. And my accountability partner is now one of my closest friends. But all of the things that were promised at the beginning of, if you join, you'll get sales funnel, you'll get, you know, like six things, not a single one was delivered.
Ouch.
Right. And like, I kind of noticed it and I didn't speak up. And so just that fear of saying like, this really isn't working for me. And I feel like the deliverables aren't getting hit. And so we either need to have a conversation or like, I need to drop out and stop paying you money. I wasn't willing to have that conversation at the time. Mm. And so I spent lots of money, and at the end, didn't really walk away with much that helped my bottom line or helped my business. Yeah. And so I think just kind of pay attention to those as much as you can. We just have to sometimes mess it up, but pay attention to that little, like, I'm not 100% sure, and trust that feeling. Because I've then been involved in other programs where I was so hungry for it, and I had seen so much evidence and seen so many relationships changed because of the program, that investing in those things was a really, really great idea for my business. But you know, I didn't trust that little, like, I don't know if this is a good fit, because I didn't want to say the tough thing, right?
Yeah. So in some ways, the, you know, tuition is money we spend to learn something. Mm-hmm. So to spend money to know, oh shoot, I really have to speak up even when I don't want to speak up.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really valuable thing to learn.
Yes.
And I've had similar experiences, and I've certainly seen a lot of people who have similar experiences. I've heard a lot of stories about people who invest in a program that then ends up having no, like, a lot of fluff and no real content, or a lot of big promises and no real deliverables. I haven't had that experience myself. Most of the people I've worked with have, you know, they've done pretty much what they said they were going to do.
Yeah.
But I did notice in one program in particular, like, sort of what everybody's teaching you is kind of what they know, what's worked for them.
Yeah.
So, and especially if they get really dictatorial about it, like, no, no, you have to do it this way. Mm-hmm. Which I see the wisdom of that, especially for beginners. It's like, no, no, don't get creative. Just do what we tell you to do, and you'll get from here to there.
Yeah.
Like, I see why they would make that, say that. But then I also knew a lot of people who got to there and went, oh, this isn't the business I want to have.
Yeah.
They taught me how to build their business.
Yes.
They didn't teach me how to build my business.
Right.
Now, I think we can assume that once you get to there, you're in a better position. Now you know, oh, great, this is not the business I want.
Yeah, you definitely know something.
Good to know, right? And now I have some more skills and some more relationships and some more ways to think about how to do what I do want to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Let's see. Let's talk about the day-to-day of being your own boss.
Yes. What? It's gone through many phases.
Yeah. Let's talk about all that time management, procrastination.
Yeah.
Stuff,
yeah,
getting to the boring stuff, like the bookkeeping and things, like,
yep.
How does that all shake out for you? What do you do?
I spent a long time just kind of like, I'll work when I'm in flow, I'll work when I'm inspired. And that meant I was playing a lot of pool and reading a lot of books, and man, I did a lot of streaming on Netflix, right? I realized that I have tremendous creativity and I can go so deep into flow, and I have to create the circumstances for that to happen, the container, which, you know, makes sense when we think about it, but when we live it, it feels different, I think. So, you know, creating the rituals and one of the things I've been working on a lot lately is I have a tendency to not take very good care of myself. Like, I'll just work and forget to eat good food and not hydrate enough. I won't move for hours at a time. And that was taking a toll on all of the things. Mm-hmm. And so I've been working with my therapist around introducing play into my day. And so for the past like 6 to 8 months, every single day, I've been doing rituals of play. I got a stand-up desk so that I could move. Play.
Good.
And And I make sure that I am religious about scheduling breaks and time into my day. So like I had to get really unapologetic about my lunch break, except for like extreme situations. Scheduling in like 15 to 20 minutes twice a day where I would just walk outside and see other humans for a little while and come back, because yeah. I could go 5, 6, 7 days without leaving the house, right? Because I'd just be so in it. And so forcing myself to care for myself has been crucial. And also just trying and failing and trying and failing and trying and failing until I kind of found what are the time blocks where I'm most creative, where do I prefer my meetings? You know, in corporate, it was just kind of everything was scheduled for you for the most part. Right. Then you filled your time answering emails. And you can absolutely fill your time answering emails as an entrepreneur. Dear God. Right. And like liking posts on Instagram. So where are you the least productive, the least creative, the most tired? And you can do some of the social media liking and checking in, up on things. But I had to do a lot of trial and error. And I also had to become completely and totally religious about caring for self, because that was the first thing to go out the window.
Well, this is so, right? It's like Michael Gerber says in E-Myth, right? You're self-employed, you work for a crazy person.
Yeah.
No, and we would never tolerate a boss who said, sit at your desk for 7 hours and don't get up and skip lunch and eat this crappy food. And we're never going to say thank you. And we're never going to give you a present. We might not even pay you,
yep.
You know, like we'd quit that job in a second. And yet we do it to ourselves.
Oh yeah.
Entrepreneurs do it to themselves all the time.
Yes.
I just was talking to a friend who's like, oh yeah, I haven't paid myself in 8 months. I'm like, that's not a business.
I have also done that.
That is some kind of weird charitable endeavor. Like I've never had the freedom to not do that. Like I needed my business to pay for itself immediately. So I never had the freedom to not pay myself. But this self-care thing, when you are the boss, when you are the entrepreneur, and particularly when your work is really, you know, coming from your heart, you are the engine pulling the train. Look, here's Chester coming to say hi. your well-being is no longer optional. Mm-hmm. You know, you must be fed, rested, meditated, cuddled, calm.
Yes.
You know, you just, because if you're not in good shape, there's nothing. There's no business to run.
Right.
So you are not only the boss, you are also the talent.
Yes.
And sometimes the talent needs a massage.
Exactly. And I what I found was there was a period actually late last year where I had been working so hard and seeing such wonderful results and, you know, getting clients and it felt great, but not caring for myself, that I ended up spending about 6 weeks at the end of the year where I was just like, Oh God, I've got a client today. And like, that's not how I want to feel about my clients. Right. But it's because
you're gonna feel like that. You might as well go back to corporate.
Right. Exactly. And it was like, my cup was so empty. And so I had to like, really, how do I fill this and keep it full and stop apologizing for maybe not being able to meet with people for several days, because guess what? My calendar is full and I get lunch breaks.
Right. No. And my stuff, my workouts go on my calendar. My lunch goes on my calendar. Friday afternoons, I tend to take off. Like all that stuff gets blocked out. And the only reason I get to have all that time is because I block it on the calendar.
Right.
I just take away the decision-making. Because if you call me and ask me, I'll just say yes.
Right.
So I have to have the calendar say, no, no, book a time on my schedule.
Yes.
And then that's how that gets taken care of. Now this is something that I learned from the very expensive mentoring program that I enrolled in from my friend, David Nagel. I'd never heard this expressed before. He said, you know, when you have a job, they pay you to be there.
Yeah.
They pay you to show up basically.
Yes.
And then the deal is, you know, they pay you just enough so you don't quit and you do just enough work to not get fired.
Exactly.
And together you have a happy little relationship, right? And you have to screw up pretty bad for a pretty long time before somebody's going to fire you you know, in most corporate environments that I've heard of. Entrepreneurship is not like that.
No.
Nobody cares how much you show up. nobody cares if you work 2 hours or 15 hours.
Yep.
There's no one clocking. There's no one noticing. There's no one approving or disapproving. You get paid for results. You get paid for sales. You get paid for doing the thing that brings the money in the door.
Right.
And that mindset switch is radical.
Yes. Yes. Because especially in the beginning, I was gauging whether or not I thought I was doing a good job by how many hours I had put in the day.
Right.
Right. And so, I spent 12 or 15 hours like doing research and learning things and talking to people and going to these webinars. And that wasn't growing my business. It was growing my mind, but it wasn't growing my business and it wasn't making money come in the door.
Yeah. I tell the story sometimes of I was filling a workshop and it just wasn't filling the way I had wanted it to or needed it to. And I was feeling really huffy about it because I was like, I've done this, 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 I've done this. I've done all the things, I've done them all right.
Yeah.
Why isn't my class full? And I had a little prayer meditation time. And I ended up with this sort of vision of me walking around like with this checklist. Like I wanted gold stars for how hard I was working.
Oh yeah.
And like, oh, I deserve people to come to my workshop because of how hard I'm working to promote it. And it's like, Sam, honey, nobody gives a shit. Nobody cares. You're not going to get gold stars for checking all the boxes. Yeah. You get gold stars for people enrolling. So it may be that you need to do twice as much as you thought you needed to do, or 10 times as much as you thought you needed to do. It may also be you need to do a lot less than you thought you needed to do.
Right.
It may be that one phone call to a strategic partner could fill this class.
Oh, yes. Yep. Totally agree.
So like, get paid for results, not for, okay. Yeah. Like all that busy work that you kind of got paid for in corporate, that.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
That doesn't work.
And I think like what surprised me so much was how much I had invested in all of that, right? Like how much time and energy and even self-congratulations I did for a lot of those things that kind of were markers of entrepreneurial success.
Yeah.
And I agree. It was the checklist of like, well, all the successful people I've learned from do these things. And so I'm doing these things. Ergo, I should be successful like them. And that's not how it worked. And I had this moment. It was really interesting. It was a clear moment where I was just kind of sitting one night and I realized, I think I've been telling myself that if I do all the right things in the right order and I put in the work and I show up, that I won't have to hustle at some point. Right. And I kind of had this moment of like, wait, the hustle never stops. And I've been seeing the hustle as a bad thing. And so how do I make the hustle the thing I'm excited about? Because it's literally why I do this. It's how people find me. It's how I change lives. And that was like a really huge kind of like moment I had to grieve almost a little bit of, I thought the end point was I could stop hustling and everyone would just show up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't know anybody who's stopped hustling. Yeah. Even people I know who are at the very top who are, you know, in show business and in entrepreneurship, people who are like, you think, oh, they're set. Oh no, they're hustling.
Yeah.
They're hustling big time. Yeah. Excellent. And I think that it is, again, a sort of a maturation process, because this is what school teaches us, right? Like, you show up, you do the things, you know, you get the marks, and then congrats, yay, you get the prize, and now you can keep going. Life's not like that.
No.
And the creative process isn't like that. And entrepreneurship's not like that. And learning is not like that. And life isn't like that. And so to sort of get it, and in fact, I get so detached from I know a lot of people who stayed in academia or even in corporate because there is like there's seasons and it's predictable and like, no, that's, you know, you've got to look forward to the weekend and then there's Christmas and then there's, I'm planning for my spring vacation. And I'm constantly like, oh, is it Christmas?
Yes.
Like it's Sunday. Seriously? Huh. Who knew?
Nope. They're all the exact same for me, pretty much.
My sister says, you know, Sam, some people take 2 days off every week. I'm like,
what?
I don't know what you're saying.
That's This makes no sense to me.
I'm so pleased that I had time to make a cup of tea, I think.
I know. And I think that's the thing that was surprising too, is like in corporate, I kind of imagined that once I made it, I would be doing like the Tim Ferriss 4-hour work week, you know, where it was like, oh, I only work a few days a week and everything just automatically happens. And like, that's happiness. I am so happy when I am working 7 days a week, 12, 14-hour days for, you know, chunks of those times, but I'm having these rich conversations with super smart people. And like people are saying my marriage has been transformed, or I see a conference birthed where like every single talk that's part of this event I helped make actually changes me at the soul level. You know, I mean, like last night, my husband actually like grabbed my hand and said, thank you for building something that'll change the world with me. And like, we're working hard. We're not sleeping some nights when we're like right in launch sequence, but like we're actually changing lives, including our own. And so like, it's totally different than I imagined, but so, so fulfilling.
So, so fulfilling.
Yeah.
And I will say, I haven't looked at a clock in years.
Yeah.
I mean, not in the way I used to look at a clock when I had a day job.
Right.
You know, like I'm just never bored.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I'm never bored. There's never a shortage of projects to do, and really big, juicy, interesting projects. Like, there's some, and that changing lives thing is really, it's really
good stuff.
It's good stuff. It really makes you feel like, okay, if I get hit by a bus tomorrow, that's, I've done my work.
Right.
Showed up. And I didn't live a life in which nobody ever disapproved of me.
Right.
I didn't live a life in which I never challenged anybody. You know, the idea is not to get out with never ruffling feathers, right?
The idea
is to do your work.
Right.
I will also say, too, just for the sake of our listeners, it is possible to have what's called a lifestyle business.
Yes.
Where you do work a couple of days a week. You work when you feel like working. You do your thing. Mm-hmm. I always think of like sort of the socialite interior design businesses like that. Like, oh, I do a few friends' homes and stuff. And it's not that they don't work hard when they're on a project. They do. Right. But they don't have to do it. Their income and their livelihood is not dependent on it.
Yeah.
It's something they do because it enriches them. It's fun for them. They have a skill and talent. But it doesn't have the same sort of all-consuming soul calling thing that a lot of us get into. So to know that there are different levels of, you know, of ways to have a business. It doesn't. You don't have to work as many hours a week as Tony.
Right.
I don't notice. I mean, somebody asked me recently, like, oh, how many hours a week do you work? And I said, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I mean, between the napping in the afternoon, but then sometimes I'm working until, you know, late at night, or I get up at 4 a.m. and work, and I don't know, because I love what I'm doing. So I'm not really noticing how much time it's taking. Yeah.
Exactly.
Great. Any really great advice you got?
I was working with a coach once, and she said the thing that terrifies you the most is the thing that you need to be listening to, and. My response to that at the time was, oh yeah, that like totally makes sense. This thing scares me. And okay, I'll pay attention to that. But that wasn't really what I was scared of. The things that I was really scared of were like dark and ugly and, you know, kind of whispered to me at night. And that took just a little bit of time, right? It wasn't kind of that like, oh yeah, well, I'm scared of this. No, it was, oh, like, if I really get visible in this way, things will change.
Mm.
You know, I'll have to have some tough conversations with self and the way I live my life. And so I thought that was really, really interesting. And then my therapist that I work with, one of the things that she says over and over and over again to me, and I think it's because she's just trying to like drill it into my head, is like, the way you live your life is art.
Yes.
And so what are you creating and how are you painting and how are you breathing and existing in the art you're creating? It's not something external from you. It is you. And the more I can breathe that, the more I make decisions from that.
That is 100,000% true. Like that's so right on. I did not know when I started that growing a business would be far and away the most engaging and interesting art project I had ever done. Mm. Like it's just so, it's just so endlessly fascinating to me. And again, sometimes I have people ask like, oh, don't you miss your own creativity? Or what about your own acting? Or what about your own, you know, do you miss working on your own projects? I'm like, I honestly don't perceive a difference in those things. Like this feels absolutely as engaging to me as putting on a show.
Yeah.
And way more lucrative.
Yeah. 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 And just like the payoff that's both financial and also like spiritual and emotional.
Yeah.
You know, just like knowing every time I get off a call that someone will never ever think about that problem the same way again. Mm. You know, and it might even be like the tiniest little thing, but like I contributed to that and it was beautiful.
And life is tiny things. Mm-hmm. Like we love to think that there's going to be some mountaintop moment and then everything's different, but that's not the way things happen. We occasionally have mountaintop moments, but then it's still like little moment, little moment, little moment, little moment, step, 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 step.
Yeah.
Detour, step, 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 step. Like that's how your life gets changed. That's how other people's lives get changed.
Oh yeah.
I had someone tell me, it was actually in relationship to my divorce, but it was still good advice. And I kept it going when I started the business, was to have fresh flowers all the time.
Oh.
Like buy yourself fresh flowers all the time. Like you're worth it.
Yes.
You know, you deserve pretty things. And it's true when you come into the office and like, oh,
yeah,
I have a lovely bouquet of flowers. Like,
yeah,
it's elevating, you know?
Right. So yeah. Those are the rituals of joy.
Yeah. The self-care thing, you know, I sometimes pretend like if I had an office of 15 people,
yeah,
I would have growing things for them. I'd have fresh flowers and plants for them. So why would I not do it for me?
Right.
So good.
Yeah.
So let's see. Oh, so the other thing I wanted to talk about was, we're talking about this, you know, things that we're scared of, is disasters. Right?
Yeah.
Because I didn't know this until I did it, and now I know it, and I try to tell it to other people, like, oh, it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening. Your best client will leave.
Yes.
Your tax bill will be 10 times what you thought it was going to be. Your merchant account will get frozen. The hotel will cancel your contract. Your team member will quit on the day. It is not a question of if, it's a question of when. And it's a little bit like, you know, like raising children. Like, you have to know the minute you have one, they're going to break their leg. They're going to, you know, fall off the wall. They're going to call you names. They're going to, that's parenting. That's the action of raising a child, is knowing that they are going to wreck themselves and you in the process.
Yep.
And so what is, do you have any thoughts on the, because I think in corporate, you're a little shielded from the disasters.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they happen, they're not really yours.
Right. Exactly. Like unless you're part of a startup, right, which is just like disaster is imminent. But if you're part of like a much bigger corporation, then your biggest disaster is like, oh, we didn't make the deliverable and we have to work overnight, or like a system crashed and we have to handle a whole bunch of angry phone calls. Mm-hmm. But it's very rare that the disaster is totally and utterly only on you. So yeah, disasters, and they come in really interesting forms, mm-hmm. which I think is, you know, I think sometimes when we think disaster, we think like, just like catastrophe that you can't recover from.
Right.
But, you know, I have had that shocking tax bill because I was not managing my money and paying taxes the way that I should until I got to the end of the year and then was like, what? I find how many $1,000s? Another disaster that I had was I assumed I would be making a certain amount of money by my second year. And I had run out and I wasn't. and I had to pull money out of my retirement account and then pay double taxes on that just to be able to keep it going, because I just, something in me knew I was so close, but I wasn't quite there and I just needed to do something. And so I did the thing I said I would never do, which was, you know, withdraw a hefty amount from my retirement account. And I just had to do that. And you know, I think sometimes disasters too are also betraying yourself. Mm-hmm. I have betrayed myself a number of times along the way, and they've always led to really interesting growth experiences, but those betrayals take some time to grieve and to, how did I get there? And what story was I telling myself that I needed to do that? Mm-hmm. And finding my way to living a lot more aligned to my values. And kind of the scary thing that can be, because then you're not looking like everyone else. And so for me, some of my disasters were in having to really sit with the ways I betrayed myself. Mm.
I also have gotten really good at finding the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Every time it looks like something's going sideways, it's like, okay. So apparently the hotel's burned down. Or it's getting fumigated, not burned down. Let's say, you know, hotel's getting fumigated. Let's, you know, like, and rather than, you know, crying your pudding about that, like, all right, what's, now what?
Yeah.
What's the opportunity? What's the thing we would never have thought of?
Right.
If we didn't have this circumstance. Who's the team member I can find now because the space is available? Like, who's the perfect person who's going to show up? Mm-hmm. You know, wow, I need to make $15,000 in the next 5 days.
Yeah.
Okay.
What am I doing?
Let's do it. Let's make it happen. And I've done it. Yeah. I mean, and yep. There's something about that coming through on the other side of that. And the faster you can rebound, it's not that you're not disappointed, but the faster you can just rebound and go like, where's the invitation?
Yeah.
Where's the glorious thing about this that is going to make a hilarious, if nothing else, a hilarious teaching story.
Yeah. 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 I I'm so glad you said that about the rebounding, because like for me, one of the things that I found was when I did have something terrible happen or really upsetting happen, the more I avoided kind of acknowledging the way that it made me feel, the longer it took for me to get to where, well, actually this, I learned something here. Now I can do something way more powerful or interesting. Whereas, you know, even just like a couple of months ago, something happened and I was just like, you know what, I have just have to cry tonight and feel sad and Netflix marathon for a few hours. And the next morning when I woke up, I was like, now I know why that happened. I am so clear on my list of things that I'm going to do so that this is actually become something more powerful and more, more valuable to my business. But I just let myself like, this did hurt and I am disappointed. I am sad and I am overwhelmed and like, oh God, I just have to put my sweatpants on for a little while. But it was just those few hours. And then the next morning it was like, oh, clarity, you know?
So good. So yeah. Good. Yeah. Letting yourself have that. You got to let the feelings out. I mean, you can't just pretend like everything's yippy skippy when it's not. And to have the friends that you can call and go, I just need to whine and cry and be petty and small here. I don't want advice. I don't want help. I don't want you to tell me that everything's gonna be fine. I just want you to sit here with me in the mud.
Yep.
And acknowledge how awful this is.
Yeah. Yeah. And just a couple of like, you're right. That sucks. Thank you.
Thank you. And those are also often the friends that then you can call and go like, guess what? I just made $15,000 in 5 days.
Right.
I have to hand it all over to the government, but still it happened.
Exactly. Yes.
Because not everybody in the world's going to be happy. Not everybody understands enough to celebrate with you. And they hear something like that and they think, well, piffle on you, $15,000. You know, like some people are not going to be so happy. They get that jealousy response, right? So you need to have people in your corner who get it.
Absolutely. That is so important.
Yeah. And don't talk about it with the people who don't get it.
Right. Yeah. Don't spend that time and energy, because that just takes away from all the things that you could be creating. So just... turn to the people who get it and then like onwards, upwards, let's do something rad now.
Yeah. And I love what you've been saying too about really learning to listen to your inner wisdom and intuition that, I figured out very early on that like the way things begin, so they go.
Yeah.
Like if something starts out with a lot of miscommunication or weirdness, or it doesn't quite feel right. Mm-hmm. It's not generally going to get better later on.
Agreed. Right.
And you can feel fine about just pulling the plug right there. Just saying, yeah, like, you know what? And really, date before you get married. Like, do a little project with somebody. Like, start small. Yes. See how it goes. Yeah. On the other hand, if when you meet someone and it's like, clip, 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 like, go, don't.
Yeah.
Go, go, go. Like, that's as much of a green light as you're going to get, you know.
Right. Yeah, and I even think, like, with the products you're making, like, one of the mistakes I made early on was I saw everyone in my industry around, like, intimacy and relationships doing these certain types of workshops, and I was like, well, I should do those certain types of workshops. And, like, even as I was writing the descriptions, I was like, okay, well, I guess this is what I have to say. Like, get people on the, and like, that feeling should have been the thing, right? Like, right, that was the moment that I should have been like, why do I feel like I have to teach these workshops? I clearly have feelings about it that aren't great. But I made the workshop descriptions and I got people in the workshops and I did the workshops and I left and I was like, oh, yeah, those were pretty good. And at some point after doing that for a while, I was like, I don't want to be teaching this workshop in any way, shape, or form. Yeah. And then what do I want to do? And when I thought about that thing, it was totally unique and different from everyone else and people loved it.
Yeah.
You know, but I was just like, well, I guess I should do the thing because everyone's doing it. And I didn't trust that, like,
yeah.
Why am I going down this path if I'm feeling so ho-hum about it? Like, that's not going to help anybody.
Nor is it going to give me the fun and joy that I escaped corporate America to find. Right. Like, right. If I wanted to just work on things I didn't care about.
Right. I will let someone else give me the money.
Exactly. Great. Good. Well, this has been so fruitful. I feel like this is just a delicious fruitcake filled with little gems of fruit. is there any parting words, anything you would, Chester, is it stardom you want? Do you want to say hello to everybody?
Well, of course, I'm a cat.
Of course I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any like, oh, here's, you know, if I could tell you one thing or.
Yeah.
Anything you would say to yourself, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago?
Yeah. Like, I think more than anything, I overestimated my ability leaving corporate of what it would be like in a world I had never been in. And I underestimated the way that it would change my life because I didn't know how to envision that life. It looks nothing like I thought it would, but it's so much richer and more nourishing and surprising. And if that feels like something you want, then it's possible. And if that feels like, well, I don't know if that's something I want, then trust that too, you know, like trust that. Cause I had that moment earlier on and I was like, no, I don't think I'm ready for it. And I'm really glad that I listened to that and gave myself more time to kind of mature into the feeling. So just kind of trust where you're sitting of like, maybe someday, or like, God, I want that. And then like feed that hunger, like feed your hunger because it's going to get you something really juicy.
So good. Dawn, thank you so much for being here and sharing your wisdom and insight with everybody. I love you.
You're so welcome. I love you too. Thank you for having me.
All right. Thanks everybody. Yeah. If you've enjoyed this, but your time is limited and you'd like access to the rest of them, please hop over to therealsambennett.com/freedom. That's therealsambennett.com/freedom. And there you can opt in, get access to all these recordings and a bunch of fun freebies. We'd love to see you there. In the meantime, remember, the world needs your good work. Thanks, everybody.